Well, Mitt's totally, totally wrong, and his disrespect for the word is what trapped him and the people that are listening to him into this deception, this strong deception. Well, Reuel Stewart is one of the brothers that we gave the visions to and asked him to read it and point and look for scriptural things and unscriptural things, and he did. He read the vision of the twin theaters, and he sent me back some things here. I'm going to read them to you, and we're going to put them on the site, because I don't feel like any of you that have been with us for a long time and respected the word, you had any problem with this. Once you realized you started reading these things, you just dropped it. Other people, because of their lusts and because they didn't respect the scriptures or because they were ignorant of the scriptures, may have gotten trapped in this. So I'm going to just take a few minutes here. Just bear with me. First of all, this particular part of the vision of the twin theaters, it was a game that Jesus was playing with these people. And the Jesus, at least the Jesus that Mitt believes is Jesus. I'm totally convinced it was not Jesus at all. And the way you know that, folks, is you know it by the Word of God. He is the Word. And He's not going to be contrary to the Word. You know, if you want to know who the real Jesus is, you have to know the Word, and you have to stick with the Word, and you don't depart from the Word. So anyway, he was playing this so-called game with these people who were justifying themselves. You know, the self-justification among Christianity is what is damning so many people. Multitudes are going to split hell wide open, and they do it every day because they justify themselves rather than the Scriptures. So I'm going to read out of this vision of the twin theaters and let you make up your mind for yourself. Listen to what it says. The next booth that I came to was called the Blame Game. Here I saw people walk up to the barker of this game, and they would say such things as, "Well, I did not seek the Lord because I just did not have any time to seek Him." Then this barker stamped this man's hand with a rubber stamp that read, "Approved, self-justified." Then another person walked up and said, "Well, I did not ask the Lord to help me because I believe that I am able to help myself and I have no need for the Lord." Again, the barker took the same stamp, "Approved, self-justified," and stamped his hand with it. The next person that came up said, "I did not cast any of my cares upon the Lord because I did not have any belief that the Lord really loved me enough to take care of me." Bam! Approved, self-justified. The next man said, "I know that I have followed after false doctrines and religious traditions, but I only did so because everyone in my family also did the same." Again, bam! Self-justified. Approved, was stamped on his hand. The next guy said, "I know that I should have forgiven this man and not have slandered him, but he really offended me and hurt my feelings, and I feel that I am just in hurting him also." Again, the barker stamped, "Approved, self-justified." The next man said, "I would have drawn near to the Lord, but I was fearful and afraid that the Lord might not draw near to me in return." Again, approved, self-justified. Another man stepped forth and said, "I have not loved my brethren because my brethren have not loved me." Bam! Proved. Self-justified. Well, this line of people at this game was always very long, for it appeared as long as though every one who played this game, they always left with a smile on their face, as though their own self-justifications had freed them from the guilt of their sins or their slothfulness. But then, now listen to this, listen to this. "But then the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and reminded me of that which is written in Romans 4 and 5. But to him who works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." Whoa! Folks, to apply that verse to these unrepentant, self-justified people is totally perverting the Word of God. This verse in Romans 4 and 5 is for justification of those who have repented and put their faith in the Lord, but it is people who have said, yes, you are right, Lord. I'm not right. You are right. Your word is right, but I'm not good enough. I don't have my own power to be able to walk with you. So the Lord justifies these people that don't justify themselves, but they admit that the Lord is right. Listen. Rules note here. Let me read rules note here. It says, I don't understand how this verse applies to the above text. What is he implying here? Is he saying that the people above are justified? Well, I wrote a little note here too. It says, this could not deceive anyone who loves truth. Romans 4 and 5 is only for those who repent and believe as we are commanded. Self-justification in all of those who justify themselves rather than God are refusing to repent. The true Jesus rebukes those who justify themselves, calling this an abomination unto God. Listen to what Jesus said. The real Jesus said. Luke 16 and 15. And he said unto me, ye are they that justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. You see, only a lying, false Jesus would justify these wicked people, folks. This is not Jesus that appeared to Mitt. We know it because Jesus wrote that verse right there. He gave us that verse. You know what? Let me point something out to you. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3 says, for the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts. You saw these people walking away from this thing with a smile on their face, self-justified, never repented, thinking that God had accepted them because of their own mind, their own self-justification. Well, they love to hear such things as this. That's the only people that get deceived by things like this. I mean, this is such a perverse manipulation of God's Word. 2 Peter 3 and 16. I want to back up a little, 15. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote unto you. This is Peter speaking about Paul. And verse 16. And also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of those things wherein are some things hard to be understood, which the ignorant and unsteadfast wrest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Well, this is a verse that was one of Paul's verses that was totally wrested and totally twisted out of context, you know. Well, isn't it great, folks, that we are justified by faith? And that, you know, like what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, the good that I would do, I do not. And the evil which I would not, that I do. Who shall deliver me from this body of this death? Since the good that I would do, I do not, it's no more I that do it, but the sin which dwelleth in me. Paul wasn't justifying himself. He admitted it was sin. He wasn't okaying it in his mind, saying he couldn't do any better. He admitted it was sin. He had justified God. He said, God, you're right, and I don't like my failures. Now, that's the guy that got justified, not the guy that would not admit his sin, would not confess his sin. No, this is a lying devil here, folks. Let me read a little bit more, quoting Mitt here. Then Jesus reached down and pulled up another card. Big game he's playing here, right? Lord, I know that when you called me, that you gave me the belief that you were the Son of the living God and that you shed your blood to cover my sins. Now, let me say something, folks. You know, there's nothing wrong in itself with this, but having read the rest of this, I discovered what I've seen, you know, around me and in many years of following the Lord, and that is the big problem here. Rules note here says, the Bible says that if we abide in Him, the blood of Jesus will not just cover our sins, but also cleanses us from all of our sins. 1 John 1 and 7. Yeah, this is the problem, folks. There are multitudes of dead religions out there. That's all they teach is the blood covering and the blood forgiveness. They don't want any part, nor do they accept, nor do they believe that Jesus is even interested in delivering them from the power of sin. See, Paul in Hebrews said that God found fault with that old covenant because it couldn't take away sin. So he did away with it. So now we've got religions that don't know the power of God, don't believe in the power of God, don't believe that Jesus enables us to walk holy, always falling back on what they had in the Old Testament. Nothing more than what they had in the Old Testament. You know they had a blood covering in the Old Testament. But the blood of bulls and goats, God's complaint was in Hebrews, couldn't take away sin. So now they don't even talk about this part. All they want is forgiveness. You know, a person who only wants forgiveness and doesn't want holiness is somebody who enjoys living in his sins. And he's justifying himself. That's the problem here. And that's the only thing we're seeing in this text here is you're okay. I'm okay. Okay. He goes on. And that you were crucified and raised from the dead, but Lord, will you finish the work that you have started in me and give me that belief which believes that all things are possible? Well, folks, let me just point something out to you. God finishes the work for those who repent and believe the gospel, that it is finished, Jesus said. And it was done at the cross. For the people that are looking forward to God doing something in the future, this is not faith. This is not the gospel. And it won't ever come to pass for them. But that's the delusion that's in this teaching here, is that ultimately one day the Lord is going to come and clean you up. As we go on, you're going to see what's wrong with this idea, folks. If you're not in this process of sanctification now, you're deceived. Okay? 1 Peter 1 and 3, seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It's not as though when the Lord comes, you're going to be able to ask him, now finish the job, Lord. He's finishing it now for the people who believe the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But you see, the people who only look ahead, asking God to do something in the future, they're not looking back at the cross, accepting that he did something for them then. This is the power of God. That's why you know this is a delusion. Seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these, this is the way, listen, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature. This is the way, folks. There isn't any other way. You can ask God to do something. There are multitudes of people, listen to me, that ask God to heal them, to deliver them, to save them from this sin, but they never believe the gospel, and for some reason the answer doesn't come. Have you ever noticed that? That's because the gospel, the good news of seeing that his divine power has already granted all this to us, that's what faith is. The other is not faith at all. This is what faith is. This is why these people are gaining power now to walk away from their sin. Multitudes of you out there who have read our book, Sovereign God, and have listened to the teachings, have discovered a new power to walk with God. Why? Because you weren't told the gospel in that dead church you came out of. So, he's saying that this is where the power comes from. Well, this is denying that. You can ask God to finish the good work in you, but if you don't believe it was finished at the cross, do you think he's going to give you power? Because you're not really a believer, and you're not really exercising faith. Do you think he's going to give you power? You better find out what the Bible says. I'm going to read this last part again. Whereby he's granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world by lust. God plans for us to escape. And what was his method of escape? Well, you take the promises that teach you that his divine power has already granted unto you everything that pertains unto God's life, that's Zoe life, and godliness. You take those promises and you believe them, and that's where God's power comes from. Well, this is, again, this is preaching the same old liberal dead gospel. From the churches that don't even believe in being filled with the Spirit, don't believe you can be holy, believe you're always going to be a sinner saved by grace. What this thing is doing is dragging people right back into that vomit. The sow that had washed to wallowing in the mire. Notice, it's only by seeing this is done that we are given his divine nature. From the beginning of my association with Mitt, frankly, he has denied the true gospel. And that victory has already been given at the cross. He has denied that. He acted, my first meeting with him was he didn't even understand faith at all. I tried to tell him the good news because I could see he was all wound up in the future and never really accepting what was already done at the cross. And he didn't understand it. He even told me, why do I need that? I thought, wow. I know baby Christians have come in here that knew exactly why they needed that. They were excited to see that, you know. So he instead relies on God answering his prayers of unbelief. And the Jesus that he talks to agrees with this lie. He goes on to say, and it was as though each one of us could have written that prayer request, for we had all been asking the Lord to do the same. Then Jesus pulled down the card and said, belief be. Belief be. Listen, did you ever see Jesus do that in the Bible? No, and you know what? You're never going to see him do that either, because it's just not biblical. You know why? Jesus never did this, and he never will. His word is unchangeable, because he cannot lie. The Bible says, belief cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word. So now, Mitt's got a shortcut. All he's got to do is wait for Jesus to come, and Jesus will tell him, belief be. No, I'm telling you, that Jesus has already spoken, and if like he told in one of his parables, that if they won't believe Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't even believe if somebody came to him from the dead. And he denied in that parable the rich man the right to send somebody to tell his poor ignorant relatives, not come to this place. No, he said, nope, they got their chance. Their chance is that they're going to believe Moses and the prophets. That's their chance. That's what Jesus said. Well, it's still that way, folks. We have to believe what is written. Otherwise, we prove ourselves not to be a true believer. That's the dangerous part. Not everybody's a believer. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Who are the people that can do the will of the Father? It is only the people who walk by faith that can do the will of the Father. Only. And this is not faith that's being preached here. Listen, Romans 1 and 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He goes on. Suddenly, everyone in the theater just started touching everyone around them with their hands and, in some cases, their fingers. And we were all healed of all of our infirmities and weaknesses. Well, folks, I can tell you one thing. That comes from faith. That comes from faith right there. That's only going to happen by faith. Don't be deceived that just suddenly you're going to have this great wisdom and or great power and you're going to do this. No, power comes from faith. And there isn't any faith being taught here. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. And he said, as you have believed, so shall it be unto you. He put a condition there. God's not going to go around his condition no matter how much you pray. You can pray till you're blue in the face. But if you don't agree with God's method, you're not going to get an answer. Multitudes of people do that. Jesus said, you're not going to be heard for your much speaking. You can pray, 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 pray. Jesus still don't answer. When he came and he was faced with these people, he gave a condition. The condition is faith. The Bible says he could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. Why? Because you can't get Jesus to break his own word. Once he said something, he is bound by it. So Mitt goes on. He said, this time everyone in the theater stood up and cheered, rejoicing and praising Jesus for what he had just done. Though none of us felt like we had any sense of time, we must have praised the Lord for hours after that, not only for the belief that had been given to us, but also for the works that were done as a result of that belief. Well, let me tell you something, folks. I know Mitt enough to know that he didn't have any faith. You see, when I contacted him, he was, he told me, you know, and I invited him to come up here because everybody told me about the castle vision, and I invited him to come up here and share about it. Well, he said, I can't get there. He says, don't have any gas. I said, well, I think we can fix you up with some gas. And he said, well, but the front wheel bearings on my car are broke, and I can't get them fixed because they cost this much. And I says, well, I think we can fix that too, you know. And come to find out, he was living in his daughter's cellar, him and his wife. And I didn't, the whole time I talked to the guy, I didn't hear of any signs and wonders. He didn't pray for anybody for any signs. He didn't have any faith, didn't speak any faith. He was all, everything was, I'll just ask Jesus and he'll take care of it. But it wasn't happening. It just wasn't happening. Okay? Nope. That's a deception. And the people that are buying into it, I feel sorry for them. But if they are, they're proving who they are. That's the only thing I can say. He goes on. Again, Jesus reached in and pulled out a card with this request upon it. Lord, you promised that, listen to this, when you came, you would set us free from all of our bondages to Satan's lies. Whoa, that's a big lie right there, folks. I don't know if you read the Bible or not. But we don't have to wait till Jesus has come to get free from our bondages. As a matter of fact, if you do, he'll say, depart from me into the eternal fire. You better not wait until Jesus comes to ask him to do this. First of all, he's going to tell you, I told you I already did this, and you didn't believe me. I'll read this again. It says, Lord, you promised that when you came... Don't say that in the Bible. Doesn't say that in there. You would set us free from all of our bondages to Satan's lies. Would you do so now? Well, that's the big lie that's told in an awful lot of the apostate churches that don't believe in the Holy Spirit and don't believe in the power of God. Oh, yeah, when Jesus comes, don't worry about it, folks. He's going to change you. I challenge you to go back and read the Bible again, folks. There ain't nothing going to change about you when Jesus comes except your body. Your soul better have already changed. If you haven't borne the fruit of God's word in your soul, he ain't going to take you. He don't want anything to do with you. Matter of fact, I'm going to read that to you. Look, Romans chapter 6, verse 19. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you presented your members as servants unto uncleanness, and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now present your members to servants to righteousness, unto sanctification. So you have to bear the fruit of sanctification here and now. You better not wait till Jesus comes, because without sanctification, no man shall see the Lord. He goes on, for when you were servants of sin, when you were servants of sin, you can't be a servant of sin. The Bible says, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. In other words, consider it done. What good does that do, David? Well, that's why God justifies you through your faith and gives you power. For when you were servants of sin, you were freed in regard of righteousness. What fruit then had ye at that time in the things whereof we are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Yes, and if you're not sanctified by the time Jesus comes, that's all you'll ever see. Verse 22. But now, look, listen. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification. And in the end, eternal life. You have your fruit unto sanctification. Yes, indeed. You better have it now, folks. You better be walking in sanctification. You better be bearing fruit. Remember the parable of the sower? The only ones that entered the kingdom were those that were bearing fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. So don't think that the Lord's coming to change your soul. He's coming to change your body. This denies the gospel, folks. This is one of those big lies that when Jesus comes, he's going to set us free. He set us free right there in Romans chapter 6. He set us free at the cross. He made you free from sin. I'm quoting right out of Romans 6. Now, that's the big lie. This is a denying of the gospel. Because he set us free at the cross. That's the faith that causes you to be set free right there. In Colossians 1 and 13, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. When did he do that? Well, don't wait for Him to do it till you see Him. That's the dangerous thing. He goes on to say, at first, Jesus seemed not to pay any attention to this question as He reached back into the bag and pulled out another card and read it. Lord, You said that it would be by Your hand that You would make us to be kings and priests. Listen to this lie. Okay? You said it would be by Your hand that You would make us kings and priests. Would You now make us kings and priests unto You? Then Jesus looked towards all of us and said, I promised You that when I would return, that I would make all those who remained faithful to My words be ruler over all that You have. It is done. When I would return. In other words, He's saying, when I return, then you're going to be made kings and priests. No, folks, that's wrong. Listen, once again, He's perverting the word to deny the gospel that this already happened for the Christians who believe it. It's already happened, folks. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6 says, and He made us to be a kingdom, to be priests unto His God and Father. Is He waiting? Are we supposed to be waiting for Him to come back to do this? It doesn't say that here. He says He already did it. The Jews who refused Jesus' word did not become priests. And it's going to be the same with the apostate Christians, folks. They're not priests unto the Lord. He goes on to say, now speak and loose your own selves from your bondages. Talking about when I would return. The question before that is when You came, so on and so forth, right? When You come, to speaking about in the future, right? Now speak and loose your own selves from your bondages. Immediately we all began to say such things as, anxiety, be gone. All evil thoughts, be gone. All fear, come out and be cast into the sea. Division and strife, perish. Uncertainty, flee. No matter what we spoke, immediately came to pass. That which we ourselves had not been able to tame was suddenly tamed through the authority that Jesus had given us over our own tongues. Whoa, folks. You think that's coming in the future? Then you're waiting. And guess what? You're doing nothing while you wait. This is the big lie, folks. Is that this authority over self and sin will only be given when He would return. Or in the future. See that? So basically, the gospel is not cleansing you because you're looking for something down the road. That's been the deception all along. Many of you learned what was wrong with that when you came to our ministry. Only an unbeliever believes this. Look, Romans 6 and 22. But now being made free from sin. Can you speak these things now? Or are you waiting for Jesus to come and give you authority? Folks, He gave you authority. Are you going to say anxiety be gone now? Are you going to say all fear come out now? Are you waiting for this to happen? Or are you going to do it because the authority of the Scriptures has already been given to you? This is the whole point. This denies the gospel. It's very sneaky. It denies the gospel. And if it denies the gospel, folks, it's denying the power of God. He goes on to say, it was simply incredible and amazing for all that misery and trouble that had so easily ruled over the thoughts of our mind were so easily cast out. Yeah, but he's talking about sometime in the future the Lord's going to give you this authority. Oh no, you already got that. The Bible already commands you in Romans 12 to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're already commanded to do that. Rule had a note here. He said, Jesus already came and set us free from the curse when He died for us on the cross. Colossians 1:13-23, 1 Peter 2:24. We already have the power to overcome by faith. It was done at the cross. See, Rule picked it right up. He knew exactly what was wrong with what's being said here. This is destroying the gospel. The good news isn't that Jesus one day is going to come and fix you all up, folks. The good news is He already did it at the cross, and you can rest and cease from your works because it's already done. That's the good news. That's the real good news. You know what? I think God picked the best place for Mitt to come and try this thing out, because we just happen to have studied diligently into what the real, real good news is. Okay? Yeah. Okay, he goes on. He goes on. He says, by the time Jesus pulled out the next card, I don't know what about this. Jesus wants to pull out all these cards, you know. We were just all filled with joy unspeakable and very giddy. And Rules had a little comment about this giddiness. He said, I didn't get a good witness about being giddy, so I looked up the word giddy, and it means having or causing a whirling, unsteady sensation, dizzy, frivolous. I didn't feel that this is the way that God's people act when they get filled with the Lord's Spirit. So, listen, he said, they were full of joy unspeakable, knowing that from this moment on, it was impossible for anything to be impossible. From this moment on, folks, I got news for you. Look back about 2,000 years. Jesus said 2,000 years ago, all things are possible to him that believeth. So why is he putting this in the future? All things are possible to him that believeth. It's not for the future. It's for now. Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. Any demon that comes along impersonating Jesus to tell you he's going to fix you all up in the future, that's the devil. He's been preaching that from the pulpits for a long time. He's destroyed the good news, which is, by the way, only to those that believe. And this is destroying their faith. He goes on to say that we knew that whatsoever was asked, we were going to see Jesus perform it. Yes. The same old lie. That's our promise now, Matthew 21 and 22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. See, it's already a promise to us, not in the future. The Lord said to me about this. This is what he said to me. And I shared this, I think, with Bob here. He says, who is it that promises to answer prayers in the future without having faith today? Yes, folks, that's the devil, because he knows it won't work. And he knows that you're waiting around for Jesus to come, and when he comes, he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. He knows it. He's a sly devil. He's been deceiving the liberal churches with this same garbage for a long time. The request on the next card read, Lord, you said, once we believed in you, then you would do that which is exceedingly abundantly above anything that we are able to think or to ask. So would you now do that for us? Well, let me show you what the perversion is here, folks. He's tweaking the scriptures just a little bit here, you know. The same lying perversion of scriptures. Notice that he is able to do this for believers now through the power that we already have. Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Whoa, it's not a power that's coming in the future at all. And he's able to do this now because of the power that works in us. Now, where's the power that works in us come from? When you believe the gospel, Romans 1. It's only those that believe the good news. That this power's already been given. That it's everything's been provided. All has been taken care of. Then Jesus, with a childlike smile on his face, leaned forward towards us and said very quickly, Abracadabra. Jeez, come on. Give me a break here. Abracadabra. And suddenly we were all changed. We all had been changed into the bodies of that 20-year-old. Yet our faces were that of a child of about 6 years old. Abracadabra. Now, why would Jesus use words like that? Yeah, pagan words. I mean, occultic words. Come on now. No? Is this a little leaven leavening the whole lump here? Then Jesus, still smiling, said again, Abracadabra. And we suddenly found ourselves in the most beautiful mountain setting. And we were all standing on top of the water of this mountain lake. And the beauty of this place was indescribable. Then we all began walking around, kicking at the water like a small child would do in a mud puddle, amazed at the feeling of walking on water as though we were walking on ground. Then Jesus again said, Abracadabra. And all manner of animals and birds came out of the forest, and they all walked out on the water and stood with us. And they began talking with us. Even some of the fish stuck their heads out of the water so that they could speak with us. And it was like being a living part of a fairy tale. Well, Rule made a note here. He said, a fairy tale is not truth. And there is no part in fairy tales. It sounds a lot like fables 2 Timothy 4, 1-5 speaks about. They said, he went on to say, where there is no limits or boundaries that could be placed on Jesus and the things which he was able to do for us. Hey, let me tell you something. The Lord has a limit. He has a boundary that has been placed upon him that he submits to. You want to know what that is? He cannot lie. Once he said something, he can't go beyond it. He can't go beneath it. He cannot lie. He has bound himself by his word. Anybody that tells you Jesus can tell you anything and he can do anything, how come he could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief? Uh-oh. He cannot lie. And once he made the condition belief, then if you're not believing, you're not entering in. That's just it. Psalm 138 and 2 says, I will worship towards thy holy temple and give thanks unto thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. He wants his word to be known as holy, sure, a rock. He is not going to change it. Psalm 119 and 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 89:34 says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. The covenant is eternal and will not be changed by any Jesus. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep with the blood of an eternal covenant. You know how the Baptists like to say, well, that passed away with the apostles and this passed away. No, none of it's passed away. We're held accountable for what it says. My people are destroyed for lack of understanding. And all those that want to change the word and make it future instead of past, they're doing that so that unbelievers can enter the kingdom. You know why Jesus made it past instead of future? Is because it has to work by faith. And faith is a gift from God, and he don't give that to everybody. All have not faith, the Bible says. You see, God is separating the wheat from the tares with this one little kingdom principle called faith. So what is Mitt doing here? Or what is Jesus doing here? Doing away with the faith. Doing away with the gospel. It's the word that he's already spoken that will judge you, and not this new word, folks. John 12:48 says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. Something that these revelations are very short on, any kind of judgment. Okay. Hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, not will speak, spake. That same shall judge him in the last day. Folks, you're going to be judged by what the Lord's already said. Nothing that anybody says he's going to do in the future, what he's already said. Now, if you're a believer, you're going to be walking in these things that Mitt puts off to the future. And the Baptist Church does too, and the Methodist Church does. All these churches that don't have faith, that are just religions, they put it all off in the future. Guess what? When they're actually in the future, faced with Jesus bearing no fruit as a disciple of Christ, they're going to find that they were deceived by the devil. Abracadabra. You think the devil knows that word? Yeah. He goes on, as much joy as we had seen Jesus do all these things for us, so also did Jesus seem to have just as much joy performing them for us. Then one final time, Jesus, having the countenance of a playful child, said, Abracadabra. And we were all immediately back in the theater. Rule has a note here. He says, from what we know about the word abracadabra, its roots are pagan and is even used in recent witchcraft movies like Harry Potter. This kind of magic show does not impress us as the Jesus of the Bible. Well, I agree with your rule. And then Mitt goes on. He said, then Jesus reached over and pulled out one last card, with this request on it. Lord, I have one desire, and that you might give me a new heart and a new mind. Hey, watch this now. So that I might be changed into the image of my Father who is in heaven. Well, just think about that, folks. Just think about that. This was the promise of the new covenant for when people were born again. And God gave His Holy Spirit at that time and not in the future. Listen, Ezekiel 36 and 26, a new heart also will I give unto you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. Wow, so when did this actually happen? Well, this is the promise of the new covenant. It's what made the new covenant different from the old covenant. Is God comes into you and He empowers you and He brings this to pass because you believe the gospel. Right? And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep mine ordinances and do them. We're commanded to renew our mind with the true word now. Not sometime in the future. Not we're going to ask Jesus to do that when we see Him. Romans 12 and 2. Be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, you better do that before you see Him, right? If you wait until you see Him, it'll be too late, and the devil knows it. That's why he's putting this off to the future. See, the devil knows it. He's deceiving a bunch of people in this right now. This is the same old lie. He goes on to say, I would love to have a mind that did not think it was robbery to think that I could be equal with God. Well, the devil hadn't changed a bit, folks. Listen, Genesis 3 and 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of any of the tree of the garden? And then in verse 4 he says, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Well, what's wrong with this? Well, it's still a lie that sinful man who refuses to humble himself to the word of the cross, like Jesus did, can be like God. It's still a lie. The devil is lying. A person that doesn't walk by faith can never be like God. Never. Philippians 2 and 4, not looking each of you to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others. In other words, here's somebody that's walking the crucified life, right? Have this mind in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. See, now how can you be like God? Well, you abide in Christ, who is like God. But notice, Jesus said, if you don't take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. And you're not entering into the kingdom, right? So who is it that can be like God? Only the people who deny themselves, accept the gospel, receive the power and the justification to come into His image. You know, concerning that last thing we read, about coming in, being changed into the image of my Father. Remember what the Bible says. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. Meaning, of course, folks, this is the process of sanctification. Are you going to wait till you see Jesus and ask Him, hey, can I be changed into your image now? He's going to say, nope, it's too late now. And how are you going to be changed into His image? It is blasphemy, folks, for a man that don't walk by faith, denies the word of God, to say that he can be equal with God. Not possible. There's only one way a man can come into his image, and that is through faith in what Jesus has already done. Remember, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. In a mirror, the glory of the Lord. And we're transformed into that image. There's no other promise in the scriptures, folks. You can ask Jesus, "Jesus, when I see you, can you change me?" The only thing Jesus is going to change, folks, is your body. That's what the Bible says. Jesus then looked up at all of us with tears of joy in his eyes, and he said, "Done." Then at that very instant, we all witnessed another spirit come forth out of Jesus. What? Let me read that again. Excuse me. I didn't read that right. Then at that very instant, we all witnessed another spirit come forth out of Jesus. That was even more awesome in beauty than the other spirit that had brought brotherly love into our hearts. So there's another spirit here. Hey, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? It was as if the first spirit that we saw was only one color of a rainbow, but this spirit contained all the colors contained in a rainbow. Well, Rule said there's only one spirit that's given to us from God. 2 Corinthians 11, 4 through 13, Ephesians 2, 18, Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. Folks, this is another Jesus with another spirit and another gospel, like 2 Corinthians 11 says, one of the verses that Rule gave here. He said, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I espoused you to one husband, that I might present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means the serpent beguiled Eve." There it is again, folks. "In his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity that is toward Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or if you receive a different spirit, which ye did not receive, or a different gospel, which you did not accept, you bear well with," the numeric says. Yes, this is definitely another gospel. Another gospel. And the devil hates the gospel. You know, I shared recently how that the demons start manifesting in people that got them when they get around somebody that's preaching the real gospel. We've had that happen here. We know the devil hates the gospel because the gospel is the power of God to save you. Not wishful thinking, not hoping that one day there's going to come a time when Jesus will just do it for you. Like the Lord said to me, "Who is it that answers prayer without faith? Since I demanded faith be for in anyone that received from me, who is it that promises to answer prayer without faith?" Well, it's the devil, folks. That's who it is. He's going to give you the easy way. You know why? He wants to get people into the kingdom that don't have faith. You know, while men slept, the devil did this. He was talking about sowing tares among the wheat. You know, while men preached a false gospel, anybody can come in and have this easy believism, accept Jesus gospel. Anybody can, you can just fill churches with that gospel. And this is preaching the same thing, folks. It was then that we all knew, that we had been made equal with God through love, unconditional love towards all men. Well, that's, again, not in the Bible. Can't find it nowhere. Rule puts a note here. Unconditional love towards all men is not in the Scriptures. Romans 9 and 13. "Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." 2 Timothy 2, 20 and 21. We read the verses to you in John 14. "If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, the Father will love you. And I will come unto you and will love you." The condition's there, folks. Not unconditional love. No such thing in the Scriptures. Listen, men who deny the Word for their own lust cannot be equal with God. And they can be easily deceived into believing that their salvation is sure because of God's unconditional love. Well, folks, it's at this point we just stopped looking into these visions because there's no use in just pouring over a bunch of leaven. It's meant to deceive. And this is not my pleasure. I really had hope that that Mitt would come here and be a help to us and be a blessing. And that was my hope. I tried very diligently to see if enlightening him with what the Word had to say would change his mind. But he denied the Word every time. denied it every time. Didn't matter what kind of a corner he got himself in, he denied it every time. And now you know that he believes that the scriptures are wrong. Scriptures are wrong. See, that's what is that? Justifying yourself. Justifying yourself. Well, that's sad. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot stronger delusions than that coming. I've said we're in boot camp. The Lord is training us to look carefully, compare with the scriptures, make sure we're not deceived. Worse is coming down the road, folks. If you're somebody who justifies yourself because you have an idol of lust in your life, I mean, you have an idol of your own desires, selfish desires. Ezekiel 14 says you're going to be deceived. God says if you put your idol before your faiths, that he's going to deceive you. That's right, God's going to deceive you. I'll tell you, you don't have any hope if God deceives you. You don't think the devil is sovereign, do you? He only gets to deceive those whom God wants to deceive. And I'll tell you who God wants to deceive. The Bible says he sends them a delusion because they have pleasure in unrighteousness and they love not the truth. He sends it. The Lord sends it. Whose coming is according to the working of Satan. But God says he's sending it. So we're being tried here, folks. We're being tried to see. Well, I'll read Deuteronomy 13 and 1 again. We're being tried to see who it is that really loves God. He said, there arise in the midst of thee a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or a wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods. Well, this is the word dear God is Elohim. It's one of God's names, Elohim, mighty one. Well, this is another Jesus here. This is exactly what's happening here. Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known. Let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or unto that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. The Lord is proving us, and he's doing it with deceivers. He's doing it with false prophets. You shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and you shall serve him, and cleave unto him. And that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death, because he hath spoken rebellion against the Lord your God, who hath brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of bondage. Notice, he's saying it again, folks. I already brought you out of Egypt. I already redeemed you from bondage. To draw thee aside out of the way which the Lord thy God commandeth thee to walk in, so shalt thou put away the evil from the midst of thee. So be so careful, folks. First of all, be so careful to be honest with God, and don't let your idols, your idolatrous lusts, come up before your face. Because if you do, you will be deceived. Okay, Brother Bill's got something here.
I read the Revelation 5 vision, and one of the things that you told me to remind you about was that one of the things that opened up my eyes right away was that Mitt was told by Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ was going to show him a new thing. And also Jesus Christ told Mitt that he wanted Mitt to tell this vision in the form of a fairy tale. And a parable is one thing, but a fairy tale is something entirely different.
A parable is using natural things to prove a truth, but a fairy tale is a lie.